Hi, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne. Thanks for joining me again today. I wish I could play guitar like that. Well, we're here. We're on the front lines of biblical truth. And we have an enemy, the adversary, who hates this teaching of justification. This is justification number 3. And if you have any questions, you can go to our website at 847, I'm confusing website with phone number, pardon that little mess up there. Our website is crossandthrone.com, and our phone number, you can reach us there too, 847-201-1060. And we hope you get in touch with us. We can we have available at our website a number of great items. All of them are dedicated to truth, friends. We're not telling us if you send us money or you buy things that you're going to be blessed for the rest of your life and be healed of cancer and grow limbs back. No, we're here to teach you the Word of God. And we have available the Concordant Literal New Testament, the best translation on planet Earth as far as I'm concerned, and taking Greek words and assigning them one English word so we don't have man's theology in our English versions. I'm not saying that there is no version that's probably 100% without bias, but I think on this one, you get rid of a lot of that. And also we have the Concordant Literal New Testament. If you have the Concordant version, friends, and the Concordant commentary of the New Testament, you'll have more than any seminary student can dream of. Trust me on that one. I know firsthand. And so anyway, we're here in the teaching the subject of justification. And we're starting off, of course, going through Paul's letter to the Romans. And pardon my squeaky chair there. But we are in Romans chapter 1. Last time we spoke about when we read in verse 3 and 4 here, where we learn about Christ, how it says he came of the seed of David according to the flesh, who is designated Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Our Lord Jesus Christ right now, he's the Son of God, and he's all-powerful. He's no longer going to be suffering. He's no longer going to be subject to man smiting him, pulling his beard, or anything like that. And he's successful at what he's done. He came, he died, and it says here he's designated the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. In other words, right now he in risen glory is a vivifying spirit. His life is beyond the reach of death or corruption. Spirit is the power of his life. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross. When he rose from the dead, he said, a spirit does not have flesh and bone like you see me have. He shed his blood on the cross. Now in resurrection life, in resurrection, he is, the power of resurrection is spirit, not blood. Well, it goes on to say, Son of God, remember, we talked about the parenthesis. If we were to read this without the parenthesis, we'd read again, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, a called apostle, severed for the evangel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Then we go on. By the way, I do want to go back and cover something here. Paul uses the phrase here, Son of God. And I think it's very interesting in verse 4. Paul uses the phrase Son of God 5 times. And I thought it would be a benefit in this program to look at each one of them. And in Acts chapter 9 is the first time we read it used of Paul. And in Acts chapter 9, and I'm looking at it here, in Acts chapter 9 after Paul is converted, and we read that he goes straightway or immediately into the synagogue and he preaches Jesus that he is the Son of God. Here it is, Acts chapter 9, verse 20. And immediately in the synagogues he heralded Jesus that he is the Son of God. Now, that's an interesting phrase. First time we read that in the New Testament where somebody heralds him as the Son of God. And Paul, in his letters, mentions him 4 times. So let's look at what about this Son of God? Who is he? Well, the first time we read about the Son of God in Paul's letters is in Romans 1:4. Now, we talked about this last time, but it doesn't hurt to repeat ourselves. We learn here in Romans 1:4 regarding his earthly life. It says, he came, who comes of the seed of David according to the flesh. So when he was here on earth, he was a son of David. He came of that line of David in his humanity according to the flesh. And then it says, who is designated, marked off, Son of God with power. That means, and it says, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. This means that he is the Son of God, all-powerful. He'll never be touched again. He can never die again. He will never see corruption again. According to the spirit of holiness, in harmony with that, by the fact that he's risen and ascended now, he has a resurrection body, the power of that body is spirit, he shed his blood on the cross, he no longer has blood, he has spirit now, by the resurrection of the dead. So the first thing we learn about the Son of God in Paul's letter is that he's the risen, powerful one. And that's, by the way, is what distinguishes Jesus Christ from every other religious person who ever lived. There is no religious leader who ever conquered the problem, who ever conquered death, friends. Don't be afraid to say that Christ is greater than all. God, he is the only way to God. He is the only way to God. And let me make that abundantly clear. The only way to God is through his Son. And God is going to do the saving through Jesus Christ. Even all mankind is saved through Jesus Christ, not through some hokey religion. Well, here it says that he is the Son of God with power. So the first thing we learn about the Son of God is he's the risen one. The next time we read about him in Paul's letters is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we read it here in I'm looking at 1 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 18. Now, God is faithful, for our word toward you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is being heralded among you through us, through me and Silvanus and Timothy, became not yes and no, but in him has become yes. For whatever promises are of God are in him yes. Wherefore, through him also is the amen to God for glory through us. Now, what does this mean? That means all of God's promises, whatever promises he's ever made, are going to be fulfilled in Christ. Jesus Christ is the fulfiller of all of God's promises. They're all fulfilled in him. All of God's promises in the Old Testament to Israel, how are they going to be fulfilled? In Christ. How are God's promises toward us, members of the body of Christ, going to be fulfilled? In him. The Son of God is the fulfiller of all of the promises of God. And they all find their fulfillment in him. So first of all, we saw the Son of God in resurrection power. Secondly, we see him as the fulfiller of God's promises. And I would say this. No one can truly fulfill promises unless he can conquer death. You cannot fulfill promises unless you can get up from the grave. Thirdly, in Galatians 2, we read, turn there in Galatians 2, verse 20, and Paul refers to this term, the Son of God, again. The titles of Jesus Christ and the titles of God in the Bible are not used for no purpose. They're used discriminately with purpose. We read here in verse 20, with Christ have I been crucified. That's a great revelation, friends. With Christ have I been crucified. But some people say, no, I want to crucify myself. I have to crucify myself. No, friends, with Christ have I been crucified, yet I am living. No longer I, but living in me is Christ. Now that which I am now living in the flesh, I am living in faith that is of the Son of God, who loves me and gives himself up for me. Now here the context here is the law, that we no longer live under law because we've been crucified with Christ. Now he says, now that which I am now living in flesh in this body, I am living in faith that is of the Son of God. It's Jesus Christ's faith. Even our service is based off of his faithfulness. And so this is important. So first we saw the Son of God in Romans 1 used as in resurrection power. We saw it in 2 Corinthians 1 in reference to his fulfilling of promises. And here in Galatians 2 we see it in reference to the believer's life, that he lives by the faith of the Son of God. Not by our faithfulness, our ability to keep law, but we live by the faith of the Son of God, his ability to fulfill everything he says on our behalf. Then the last time we read it is in Ephesians 4. And Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says this regarding Christ. Now that he ascended, referring to Christ's ascension, what is it except that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descends is the same who ascends also up over all who are of the heavens, that he should be completing all. And the same one gives these, indeed as apostles, yet these as prophets, yet these as evangelists, yet these as pastors and teachers. We read here that the ascended Christ chose certain apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers. And by the way, this is not a reference to the 12 apostles. They were chosen by Christ on earth. And this is, by the way, a distinction that you have to make. But he chose, Christ, after he ascended, chose a new set, and Paul is the chief. And why did he choose him? Toward the adjusting of the saints for the work of dispensing, for the upbuilding of the body of Christ, unto the end that we should all attain to the unity of the faith and of the realization of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure, the stature, the complement of the Christ. And friends, this is the goal of ministry. This is the goal of this, our ministry here. It says here that the purpose of the ministry for pastor and teachers is for the upbuilding of the body of Christ to the end, that we all should attain to the unity of the faith and of the realization of the Son of God. The word realize here is a Greek word, means to connect previous facts, connect with previously revealed facts. He doesn't just want us to know about the Son of God. He wants us to connect with the facts concerning the Son of God. We want to know Him, to become thoroughly acquainted with Him. He is the risen, powerful Christ in Romans 1 that will never die again. He is the one who fulfills all of God's promises in 2 Corinthians 1. In Galatians 2, the life we now live is not by our own ability to keep law, but we live by the ability of Christ. We live by faith, that which is of the Son of God. In Ephesians 4, the goal of pastors and teachers and evangelists and the apostles and prophets were what? To bring us all to the unity of the faith and to the realization of the Son of God. Truly, we have a Christ-centered ministry, friends. We are to learn about the Son of God, to rejoice in Him, and thank God for all He's accomplished. Well, we thank you for joining us today. And if you have any questions, do not hesitate to call us at 847-201-1060. And you can also go to our website, which is www.crossandthrone.com. That is Cross and Throne. Spell it all out. And go there. Get this copy of the Concordant Literal New Testament and the Concordant Commentary, friends. The two most invaluable tools. They're better than any seminary education, friends. And you will learn as much as you possibly can learn. And go to our website and get that. And just as a friendly reminder, dear ones, believe God no matter what the clergy tell you. We'll see you next time, dear ones.